Welcome to Hacks and Jacks. It's Sunday, July 6th, and we had some fireworks this weekend, not just on the baseball field, but also in the skies. July 4th, everybody celebrated. Scott, hope you had a great holiday weekend. How was everything?
There's one cheesy pickup line about the 4th of July that I always love, which is, on a scale of one to America, how free are you tonight? It's perfect. It's great. You should use that all the time, all year. It's good in all seasons. But no, it was good. It was mostly quiet. Picked up my kid from summer camp. So yeah, I mean, our family couldn't be happier.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, we had a solid 4th of July. We stayed up past bedtimes and watched fireworks, and everything was hunky dory. We were in good shape. It was good.
My two-year-old stayed up past bedtimes, not because of fireworks, but because she is a demon from the deepest layers of heck and deep inside. And so that's what she does. She wakes up at 2 a.m. and just screams as loud as she can.
Yeah,
for as long as she can.
You guys are in the trenches with that too. We've got a we've got a two-year-old in the house that she's in the I can do it phase.
No, she can't.
Exactly. Yeah. It's but she wants to try. She's going to try. But that's all right. Though. Oh, kids, right? All right, let's get to baseball. There's a lot of fun stuff going on as we kind of wrap up the first half. We're entering the final week of the first half of the season, and some interesting news and notes to go over. We'll start with maybe the biggest in terms of effect on baseball, maybe not fantasy, but effect on baseball in general. The Washington Nationals have fired their manager, Dave Martinez, as well as their GM, Mike Rizzo. So really the fantasy impact of this, I think we talked about when the Orioles fired Brandon Hyde, you know, the only real change with managers comes in, you know, the tactics. The Nationals run a lot under Dave Martinez. Do you think they're still going to be running under whoever takes over?
If they want to win games, they don't have a lot of options, right? Like, it's James Wood and like the fighting James Woods, right? So all the good guys they have outside of James Woods can run, and James Wood also can run. So that's what you have to do. Like, the only real question here is like, why now? Why not 3 years ago? Right? Like, what was the point? Like, what did you think was going to happen this year or last year that changes anything? Like, I'm sure it's got something to do with his contract or whatever, or for Mike Rizzo or for Dave Martinez, who I think will eventually land at other jobs because they're not terrible managers. The team just doesn't have a ton of talent. It's extremely shallow. So yeah, just like, why now? Why not 3 years ago or 3 years from now? It really wouldn't have made much of a difference.
It's kind of strange with the expectation level in fantasy circles. Preseason was kind of like, okay, maybe they can compete. Like, I know the NL East is tough, but maybe they can compete. And I don't know if ownership took that and was like, yeah, we should be competing. And they're just not.
With what pitchers? Right? Like, what? How? Why?
Yeah, running Trevor Williams out there every fifth day is not a recipe for success.
It's like, again, it's Mackenzie Gore and who? Like, that's not really a joke, right? Like, how many baseball fans can name the other four dudes?
I mean, I think,
and even if you can, are you impressed? Right? Like, why?
I mean, Mike Soroka's interesting, right?
Like, is he? Is he, Brett?
Sure. I mean, you know, in his 15, name. 20, 25. I did, you know.
Yeah, like in the last round of a draft and hold. Yeah, he was interesting. That's 50 dudes. They get 26.
Yeah, let me try to pull a couple other names so I sound really smart. that's I mean,
I gave you time and you didn't do it.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
That's all I got.
Mitchell Parker.
Yeah.
Shinosuke Ogasawara. Jake Irvin? Why'd you sleep on Jake Irvin, Brett? Why'd you sleep on Jake Irvin?
Thank goodness this is a hitters podcast, right? Or else we'd be in big trouble.
Yeah, why'd you sleep on Jake Irvin? Just because none of his pitches grade above average in stuff plus? Is that why?
That gives me a good excuse, at least. Let's talk about some guys who come back from the IL this week. There is a laundry list of names of guys getting getting back to health. Athletics catcher Shea Langeliers, Philadelphia first baseman Bryce Harper, Minnesota third baseman Royce Lewis, Los Angeles Angels outfielder Jorge Soler, Texas first baseman Jake Berger, Tampa Bay infielder Ha-Seong Kim, Baltimore outfielder Tyler O'Neill, Cincinnati infielder Noelvi Marte, Washington catcher Kiebert Ruiz, Texas outfielder Wyatt Langford, and Arizona outfielder Corbin Carroll, all of them coming off the IL at certain points this week, returning to play. Scott, run me through maybe the biggest names there and anybody else that interests you.
Lightning round, baby. Okay, Shea Langeliers, power catcher, strikes out a lot, doesn't walk necessarily a ton. A decent, slightly better than streamer catcher in standard leagues, in points leagues. If you lose points for strikeouts, Shea Langeliers is more going to be close to the average side. Bryce Harper, he's back. He's a little earlier than some of us may have expected. We thought anywhere from 1 to 2 months. The downside is that we've heard from him that the main reason he's back is because his injury wasn't actually getting better than it is right now. It's not totally healed. It just wasn't getting better. Probably wasn't going to get better until he gets like a full off season off. So he's just like, screw it, we're in. Royce Lewis, I don't really care in mixed leagues because he's been super injured. He hasn't been very good. He's a streamer. If you need a third base, just see what happens, right? We've seen him be very, very good. It's just, it's been a bit longer than you think it has since that time. Jorge Soler, power streamer, walks a little bit. Don't really care. Jake Berger, guess what? He's a power streamer. He doesn't walk a bit, but I don't really care that much. Again, just a power streamer at first and third. Ha-Seong Kim, he was hitting like 83 miles an hour average exit velocity in AAA. That's bad, right? And that's not going to get better when he comes to the majors, right? Like, he just doesn't hit the ball very hard. And I think that that 1 year where he hit like 15 home runs and stole 40 bases, that's long behind us, folks. He's going to be a part-time infielder. There's a lot of guys competing for those spots in Tampa. He's a streamer for speed. That's about it. Tyler O'Neill, you know the deal, right? He's going to get hurt. Like, that's what's going to happen. He's going to hit for power. He's going to get hurt. And when he's not hitting for power and when he's not hurt, there's going to be big, long chunks where he's really, really bad. So you're kind of just like sort of riding the wave. See if you can catch him at the right time. He's not a must hold. Noelvi Marte, he was so bad last year. Abysmal. He showed a couple flashes this year. Again, he's third base eligible. So that makes him a little bit interesting. He can run a little bit. That's a little interesting. He could be a 20-20 guy, like 20 home runs, 20 stolen bases if he fully realizes his potential. But I'm not sure that's actually going to happen. So again, like I liken him to Royce Lewis. You can take a flyer on it if you want, but there's really, like, don't get too excited here. Kiebert Ruiz, that's a points league catcher. He can slap the ball around. He doesn't walk much, but he puts the ball in play a lot. So he's not great for OBP, but he is good for points. Wyatt Langford, he's going to be a stud one day. We don't know when that day is, but he probably should be a stud. He was a top prospect for a reason, just as widely lauded as, say, Corbin Carroll. Corbin Carroll, we've now seen he had some rough patches. Don't forget, Corbin Carroll had rough patches. So every time you look at Wyatt Langford, they'll go, oh, what happened? Corbin Carroll had whole years off. And yeah, sure, you could say, oh, it was just the injury. It was just that. It's always something, right? It doesn't really matter what it is. It takes time for these guys to really find their potential. So Wyatt Langford, a guy who, if someone thinks they're selling high and you can get him for less than market value, by market value, I mean, go and look at my hitter list. I'm going to have a new one this Wednesday night, maybe Thursday morning, but he's a top 30 hitter, at least top 50. So if you can get someone who's in that 40 to 60 range, you can trade them for Wyatt Langford. I would go and do it, especially if you're someone who maybe rosters Byron Buxton, who is almost certainly going to be hurt. He has really, since I think it's like 2017, hasn't played in 65% of his team's games this entire time. Like, every single year, he misses at least 35% of his team's games. He's sort of quickly approaching that 65% mark. Byron Buxton, a guy who you could sort of just add to your roster. I'm not saying you should trade Byron Buxton. Everyone knows he gets hurt too much. But if you wanted to go and add someone to help support your team when and if Byron Buxton goes down, go and get a Wyatt Langford, who people might be trying to let go of because they spent quite a bit of draft capital and they might want something in return. Wyatt Langford is, I think, going to turn it around this season. We just don't know when. So he's someone to pay attention to. Obviously, Corbin Carroll, he's going to be a top 5 to 7 player. Really, the top two tiers in baseball are just super loaded. So it's hard to just say, oh, he's a top 5 player, because there's so many guys. There's about 10 guys that you can say are capable of being top 5 players, because there's Otani, then there's Judge, and then there's a bunch of dudes who qualify in that range. So he's someone to pay attention to. But yeah, just to kind of quickly go back, Langoliers and Ruiz, they're streamers. Ruiz in points, Langoliers and everything else. Harper's fine, but he might not have the power he hoped for because of the hand. Royce Lewis, he's injured a lot. He's just a streamer. Jorge Soler, he's a power streamer who walks a bit, who's been disappointing. Jake Berger, he's a power bat who's been disappointing, but doesn't walk a lot. Ha-Seong Kim can't hit the ball hard to save his life. He didn't do it in AAA. He's not going to do it now, but he might run. Tyler O'Neill, he's always hurt. Noel V. Marte had terrible last year, but he can run and hit for a little bit of power. And Wyatt Langford and Corbin Carroll, they're young. They're great. Corbin Carroll's already great. Wyatt Langford is likely going to be great at some point. Someone to be excited about.
Woo! Take a breath. That was awesome.
Tell me what to do!
Lightning round IL from Scott Chu. That was beautiful. Let's talk about some guys who, instead of the guys coming back, let's talk to the guys who are on the IL this week. Arizona infielder Paven Smith goes down with an injury. Toronto infielder Andrés Giménez. Los Angeles Dodgers infielder Max Muncy. Detroit outfielder Kerry Carpenter. Houston shortstop Jeremy Peña. And don't get me started on this one. Houston designated hitter Yordan Alvarez has yet another setback in his comeback.
What are they doing in Houston? I'm worried about Jeremy Peña for no reason, because they did it with Kyle Tucker last year. They're doing it with Yordan Alvarez now. It's almost like they find a guy starting to get healthy, so they look for an open wound to just rub salt in it. And they're like, yeah, we heard this is good. We heard this helps. No, it just hurts and makes wounds infected. Like, what's wrong with you? Why would you do that? So, Paven Smith. He is a lefty who can hit righties, who was really, really hot to start the year and who you should otherwise mostly ignore as a streamer. Andrés Giménez has been terrible all year. He had a chance to hit fourth for the Blue Jays. That was going to be the best opportunity he ever got. And guess what? He wasn't really relevant doing that. He's certainly not going to be relevant batting eighth. Max Muncy was setting the world on fire. He was probably the best hitter in baseball for about 2 weeks. You should hold him on your IL if at all possible. You'd have to have a very, very stacked IL to not be able to do that. Jeremy Peña, again, I'm worried because it's Houston, but you got to hold him. He's been having a really good year. Same for Yordan Alvarez. It's a setback, but he should be back at some point, right? And when he is, he should be a top 10 hitter in baseball. And then Kerry Carpenter, he's the tough one. So in three outfield leagues, I'm okay with dropping him. He was really struggling and outfield's really deep and your IL might be full, right? You should always save someone who's on the IL if you've got no pressure on that spot. It's just a free roster spot. Go ahead and add him. But you can always drop him once he's healthy, right? You're not actually under any obligation. Kerry Carpenter, I do think that power is going to come back. I think, you know, in a full season, he'd be a 30 home run guy. That's not going to be this year, but this offense scores runs, right? And he gets to hit in the middle of it, either at the top or in the middle. So he's someone to pay attention to. Kerry Carpenter, a guy that you probably can't hold in three outfield leagues and five outfield leagues, 15-team leagues. I think you got
to
do it.
So just to recap the rundown, Paven Smith and Andrés Giménez, you can let go. Max Muncy, Jeremy Peña, you're definitely holding. Yordan Alvarez, you're probably still holding.
Yeah, you got to hold Alvarez, and then Carpenter's the one who's kind of in the middle if you don't have the free spot. But I don't even care if you have the free spot on Paven Smith and Andrés Giménez. Just let them go. Right? There's probably a guy on the wire who's injured who's got more upside than those guys.
Beautiful. We'll take a quick break and get back with more news and notes on Hacks and Jacks after this. Welcome back to Hacks and Jacks. Brett Ford here with Scott Chu talking hitters on pitcher list. We're still going through our news and notes. Let's talk about really the only name that got called up to the majors as far as hitters go that might be somewhat relevant this week. Toronto brought back outfielder Joey Loperfido, guy they acquired from Houston last year, had some buzz surrounding his name. Didn't really do a ton in his rookie season. Scott, is there any interest here, maybe in deeper leagues?
Not really. So his buzz was all about opportunity when he was an Astro. He made it to Toronto and his opportunity got a little bit more cloudy and now it's even more cloudy. I'm not sure how he's going to get any playing time. So there is power here, but it doesn't really matter. So here's the thing. There's lots of guys that if we want to just say, oh yeah, prospect, you know, his top outcome, he could hit 30 home runs. But these dudes with contact issues, these dudes with platoon issues, they just don't get to do that. So his best possible outcome is like a Kerry Carpenter type, and I don't see that happening.
Well, let's talk about some other transactions in the majors this week. So the Braves brought back Jerickson Profar from his suspension, and in somewhat surprising fashion, they DFA'd Alex Verdugo, releasing him to become a free agent. And this isn't so much surprising from a performance standpoint as it is from a depth standpoint. Atlanta's still kind of shallow in the outfield. Is this an indictment of Verdugo, or do you think he lands somewhere as fantasy relevant again, or do you think the best days are behind him?
So he's just a guy. I think that's kind of what Atlanta realized. He's major league worthy, but they're looking for, I think, someone to, like, it's really hard to talk yourself into Alex Verdugo when you're starting Ronald Acuna Jr., Michael Harris, and then either Jurickson and Profar, or like, can you really talk yourself into like him over Stuart Fairchild? Right. Also, the fact that he's left-handed hurt just a little bit because Olsen's left-handed, Jurickson and Profar is a switch hitter, Drake Baldwin's left-handed, Ozzy Albies is a switch hitter, Michael Harris is a left-handed. They didn't really need the left-handed bat. They probably realized no one was going to trade anything of any value for Verdugo, so out he goes. The name to be interested in, I guess, is Jurickson and Profar. They've inserted him into the fourth spot in this lineup basically immediately. He did hit two home runs right when he came back. That was cool. He led off today against a lefty, which was kind of interesting, but I think that was really just to give Ronald Acuna Jr. the day off. Profar, again, he is very streamable in the outfield, right? But again, this guy has Jurickson Profar has a very, very long major league career. And about two of those seasons are interesting from a fantasy perspective. They're 2018 and 2024. Right. All the other seasons in his entire career are wholly uninteresting. 2020 was because it was a 56 game sample and he did decent, but that's really about it. There's just not a super interesting player here. So he's a streamer and we'll see what happens. Like, there's, again, how much do you want to bet on a guy who had a career year at 31 doing it again?
Yeah. And speaking of guys who potentially could underperform, we have another underperforming. This one's a corner infielder. The Texas Rangers have sent Josh Jung to AAA, and Josh Smith is their starting third baseman on an everyday basis. Now, this is something that certainly I didn't see coming before this season, and I'm not even sure if anybody in the Rangers organization saw this coming. But Jung is down to AAA now. This is kind of the second established veteran they've sent to AAA after doing the same with Berger and trying to turn his career around earlier this season. What does this move tell you about Josh Jung?
Well, what was interesting about it is if you had told me that he was getting sent down, I'd say, oh, he must be striking out a bunch. But he wasn't. Right? His strikeout rate was just fine. But the problem was that he only had 8 home runs in 75 games. That puts him on pace for well short of 20. Power's supposed to be his game. It just wasn't there, right? And, you know, it wasn't even like a single thing causing it, right? He was hitting a fair number of line drives. It's not like he had a huge ground ball rate. He doesn't pull the ball super great, but he never did. Even though he's shown power in the past, it just wasn't that good. Like, it's weird to say, but really Josh Jung just has not been able to be the guy they hoped. They got a glimpse of it, 122 games in 2023 when he hit 23 home runs. And since then, it's really just not been there. So he's down. He might stay down for a while. I'm not super interested in Josh Smith outside, again, as a streamer. He's leading off. That is mildly interesting. He's third base, shortstop, outfield eligible. That's mildly interesting, right? He's also eligible at first, I believe, for no real particular reason. He'll score some runs. We saw this last year, right? Like, last year there was a lot of buzz about Josh Smith, but if I told you that he only had 13 home runs, 11 stolen bases, didn't hit 260, didn't get on base, you know, 34% of the time, he was super average last year, and that was as good as it gets, right? So his power and stolen base numbers are higher this season, right? Right now he's on pace for like a 15-15 season if he plays all the way through, maybe a little less. But that's all he is. That's just kind of what Josh Smith is. So, you know, don't get overly excited. It's a streamer who can fill in for a lot of spots.
We'll move on to the Boston Red Sox organization. Masataka Yoshida is currently on a rehab assignment. He was seen taking ground balls at first base. Do you think there's a path for playing time for Yoshida at first base within the Red Sox organization, or is he just kind of another replacement level guy that's going to rotate with Abraham Toro, Romy Gonzalez, whoever else they throw out there?
Yeah, it's that, right? So even if he, even if he comes up, even if he plays first base every day, I'm not super interested in Yoshida. Yoshida is just an older, slightly worse version of Jung-Hoo Lee, right? And you're already trying to figure out what the heck you're supposed to do with Jung-Hoo Lee, who has really slowed down since the beginning of the season, puts the ball in play. In points leagues, Yoshida is a sneaky little play, especially if he gets like everyday at bats. But outside of that, there's not a lot of power here. There's not a lot of speed. There's not going to be a ton of counting stats on a, like, you know what the 3-4-5 is for this team? Abraham, Toro, Carlos Novaez, Willier, Abreu, right? That's the 3-4-5 for the Boston Red Sox right now. It's not the team they hoped, right? It's not the team they hoped they'd have. They got a lot of young pieces who could do something. They're technically over 500, but they're 2.8% to win this division. FanGraph says they're 25% to make the playoffs, but I think they're out of their mind. I think this team is more like 10% to make the playoffs because, again, like they need Garrett Crochet to not have his arm fall off, and then they need Lucas Giolito to stay really good. They need Brandon Bello to stay really good. They need Richard Fitz to do stuff that he's never really shown he can do for more than a couple starts at a time. There's just a lot going on with this team. I think they're better built for 2026 and beyond. So, I'm not super interested in Yoshida.
We'll move on to another, probably a name for a deep league. Just a couple of minor league transactions maybe to keep an eye on. Jamer Candelario signed with the Yankees on a minor league contract, and then Rowdy Tellez signed with the Rangers on a minor league contract. Either one have any sort of path to playing time or any kind of fantasy relevance?
No. I mean, I can say more than that, but no. Candelario couldn't get playing time for the Reds. Right? How's he going to break this Yankees lineup? Right? They're having a hard time to find places for guys who are potentially good, like Ben Rice. How do they have any room for a guy who they pretty sure isn't? And Jamer Candelario, he's not currently on the 40-man roster. I'm not sure he's going to be. Right? He's like a worse version of Brian De La Cruz, who they already have. Right? Like, there's just not much here. And then with Rowdy Tellez, he hits home runs every once in a while. He's at best a platoon first baseman on a team that didn't need that either.
We'll take a break and we'll get back. When we get back, we'll get into Scott's top 150 hitters list. We'll talk about the risers and fallers from this week after the break. Awesome. Welcome back to Hacks and Jacks. It's Sunday, July 6th. We're back and we're going to talk about Scott's top 150 hitters list. Scott Chu updates this hitters list every week, updates midweek. And we always talk about it on Sunday night. Scott, talk me through some of these risers. We'll start with some Rangers bats. Adelis Garcia, Marcus Semien, and Corey Seager, all of them have risen significantly in the ranks. Seager up 17 spots to 37th overall. Semien up 24 spots to 83rd overall. And Adelis Garcia with a massive leap of 43 spots to top into the top 100. What are the Rangers doing that they haven't been doing all season that is causing them to rise up the rankings all of a sudden?
Great question. So with Garcia, he's an interesting one because they sent him down to the minors for a very short time, or not to the minors, but they sent him on the bench for a short time to be like, hey, we don't think you're doing this right. We need you to clean it up, get better. And guys respond really strangely to that, but Adelis Garcia really responded well. He looks a lot like the guy we hoped we'd get in the offseason. Now look, he's not back to his prime. Right? That guy who could hit like 35 home runs, steal 15, 20 bases. He's not that. He's not going to ever be that. But is he a guy who could be on pace for 30 home runs for the rest of the season? Absolutely. Right? That's a guy. He's a guy who is definitely a nice power bat who may have been cut in your league. I rank him number 100. So that's in a 3-outfield, 12 team league. He's kind of like sort of close to the replacement level, but he's just a little bit better than that. I think he's worth grabbing. Marcus Semien, that's an interesting one. So he's been having really good decision-making all season long, right? The problem was that he had absolutely no power. It had gone away. It was gone starting like about halfway through last year. Marcus Semien put together one of the worst 100 game, like 300, 400 plate appearance stretches of any regular in baseball. And we talked about him in this show as a guy that you could drop. And honestly, at the time he was right. He was just not doing anything that we needed him to do. What has changed? And it's changed incredibly dramatically, incredibly quickly. If you follow me on Twitter at If The Chew Fits or on Blue Sky, scottchew.pitcherlist.com, you'll see I just posted the process plus chart. Well, it's actually the contact ability plus chart of Marcus Semien, where it's in the basement and then out of nowhere just skyrockets. He goes from 10th percentile contact ability to 90th percentile contact ability in the course of like 2 weeks, almost like a light switch. It's insane. So, you know, while he's doing that, Marcus Semien being a second baseman, someone you should be very interested in. I don't necessarily expect this to last all season, right? I think that we could see another very devastating slump for Marcus Semien. He wasn't usually this type of hitter in the past. It's strange for him to be like this now, but the decision-making hopefully makes the floor a little higher than what we saw for I cannot underestimate. It was like 100 games that he was terrible. So we can't just let that go in our minds either. Just like we can't let go that a guy was really good for 100 games, we can't let go that a guy was bad for 100 games. So you guys hold it in the back of your mind. But however, at second base, you can hold your nose and just dive in and see what happens. Corey Seager was hurt and was slumping badly. Slumping badly is just something Corey Seager does. It's funny when you look at the stat lines year to year, you think, well, this guy's just a stud, just always consistent. And year by year, he is consistent, but month to month, he is not. He has one or two bad months every season. They're just terrible. I couldn't tell you why. I don't know if they're adjustment periods. I don't know if there's a part of the season where he just decides, like, I wonder what would happen if I just like didn't hold the bat that hard. Like, I don't know how it works in his mind, but he ends up just having a really bad month. But he ends up coming back. 37 is where he's at now. So he's back in the top 50. I expect him to stay there. Now, really, the only issue is going to be injury, right? Corey Seager is a guy who gets injured a lot. Something to be mindful of. He's hard to trade because of that. So right now, to me, if you have Corey Seager, you just plug him in, you let it ride and see how long it can take you. But he's someone that when healthy, he's got that slump behind him, he should be quite good going forward. So he's really the one, obviously, that's way above these other two. Garcia, just above streamer level, has the upside to be another like layer above that. And then Marcus Semien, hey, let's see how long this contact surge goes, right? Again, it's not the way he usually is. It's not something I necessarily expect to last all year, but hey, you're desperate at second base, probably, because most of the league is. Marcus Semien is showing some power right now. Not a ton of it, right? He isn't going to have that much. I think most of that power is gone. I think the power and speed numbers are going to disappoint you a little, but he's going to keep making contact, keep giving you ratios, keep giving you counting stats as long as Garcia and Seager keep hitting. Though the rest of this lineup is kind of thin and I don't really trust it. I think there's certainly value here out of these three Rangers bats.
Yeah, and all three of these guys are kind of stacked in that top half of the lineup, right behind Josh Smith, who we talked about earlier. So, you know, having all these guys succeed at the same time has got to be good. Got to mean good things for the Rangers.
I mean, as good as they can be for the Rangers, I guess. They're not as bad in the standings as I thought they'd be. If you'd ask me how many games like above or below 500, I would have been worse than they are now. 10.5 out of the AL West lead, but you know, they're still in the hunt sort of for a wild card spot because the NL Central has been, or AL Central has been bad. They're not terrible. This is kind of what they need. What they really need is for Jake DeGrom and Nathan Eovaldi to stay healthy so that they have a chance to be dangerous in the playoffs.
We'll move to that AL Central that we talked about. Minnesota Twins outfielder Byron Buxton moves up to tier 7. He moves up 20 spots this week to 45th overall inside your top 50. I know we touched on Buxton earlier in the podcast, but he's staying healthy, he's staying on the field, and he's producing.
As I said earlier, Byron Buxton has only once in his entire career, which has been longer than you might think because of all his injuries, he's only once played more than 65% of his team's games, just one time. He's hoping to do it for a second time. So, Byron Buxton, I talk a lot in the article, and I think you should check it out. But basically, I want to talk about his strategy. Selling high on Buxton is really hard to do because everybody that plays fantasy baseball knows Byron Buxton's reputation, which is he's going to get hurt. So, you're going to pay pennies on the dollar. My view on Byron Buxton is, don't trade him for pennies on the dollar. Just see if it lasts longer, right? Especially in Roto. Hold him on the off chance that he does stay healthy all year. It's possible, right? It's not like there's someone, you know, the dagger of Damocles is not just dangling over his head waiting for him to hit 64% and then just drop and kill him, right? Like, that's not what's happening here. What's happening is he plays really, really hard in the outfield and he hurts himself. So with Buxton, I think what you should do is be trading for outfielders who are more durable, who will be around if and when Buxton goes down. Get your outfield deep now. Don't wait, because once Buxton goes down, it might be after the trade deadline and you're just going to kind of be at the mercy of whatever's on the wire. No, start looking now. You don't have to make the move now, but start looking now. See what's available in the outfield, right? Dylan Cruz might be available for someone who's a little desperate. You know, I talked about Wyatt Langford, who's just off the IL. Maybe someone thinks they're selling high. Go get some outfielders who maybe are slumping a little bit right now, knowing that, hey, they can just park on my bench until and when Buxton's no longer available. In fact, Yordan Alvarez is a guy that I would recommend taking. He's a guy who I think you can kind of, you know, scoop up and say, yeah, they're mismanaging him terribly, but all they need is for him to be back around the time Buxton goes down. And I don't even know if he will. So that's another guy to really keep an eye on, because you're going to have a hard time replacing that kind of power. You can replace the speed, you can replace the other stuff, but the power is going to be hard to replace off the wire. So start looking for that now. At outfield's one way to do it, but you can do it at any position. Just keep an eye out for it.
Speaking of guys that are almost pure power, we move on to a third baseman who's moved up 22 spots this week. That's Arizona third baseman Eugenio Suarez. He's up to 51st overall, up into tier 7. And he's a guy who always seems to turn it on in the second half, Scott. Is that something you think we'll see here again?
I don't necessarily believe in like first half, second half kind of things, because when you look over the course of time, players rarely do this with any kind of consistency, right? Like it's a recency bias kind of thing. Eugenio Suarez, though, like he's hitter number 8 right now per the FanGraphs player rater. He's at 28 home runs. He has 28 home runs here, 87 games into the season. You don't hear about it quite as much because he's not leading the AL or in either league in home runs. He's no Cal Raleigh, but 28 home runs by this point. He's almost a lock for 40, something he hasn't done since the rabbit ball year of 2019. He hit 49. He's never hit 34 in any other, more than 34 in any other season. So it's a little bit interesting. You know, Eugenio, I think, is a guy who you just got to lock in. Look, could there be long slumps? Yes. His profile has always been like that, right? He doesn't walk as much as he used to. He still strikes out a fair amount. Hits just a ton of fly balls. He's very prone to streaks, but as of right now, right, he looks like he did back in his prime, and you just got to kind of keep going with it. Really, ever since the second half of last season, it's just bizarre that this guy, he looked like he was about out of the league at one point last season. And then you just kind of go from like July to the end of the year. He's been just unstoppable, right? Like I know it sounds like I'm just being like, oh, he's been really good. His last here, let me adjust my game logs here just to get to the right number of games. I want to give you his last 160 games or so. So let's go to like, I think the last calendar year, July 6th, right? So July 6th is, you know, exactly a year from today. That'll give us, let's see how many games this is. 161 games, 667 plate appearances. He has 52 home runs. 52 in his last 161 games. Like that buildup was worth it, folks. 52 home runs, 113 runs scored, 140 RBI. And you know what? He stole a base. Cause why not? Why the heck not? Right? He's hitting 281 in that stretch. I was underestimating him. I was like, oh, I'm sure it's just like he gets hot. And I'm like, ah, it's just another little hot streak. But here we are, 52 home runs later over the course of a calendar year.
And I think that 280 mark for his batting average is more impressive for Suarez than the 52 home runs over that stretch. Like I never imagined Eugenio Suarez to have a 280 batting average over the course of a season. Like he's just not a guy that I profile that way. And maybe that's a mental block for me, but to hear that he is hitting 280 over the course of an entire season, even though it's, you know, a calendar year, is amazing.
That's the most boring thing you've ever said. This man has 52 home runs and 140 RBI. Brett, 281 average. Get out of here. Yeah, sure. It's great. Ooh, woohoo. Batting average. 52 home runs, 140 RBI. Get out of here. And 32 doubles.
Can you tell I'm a roto guy? Like, is that?
Yes, God. Have some fun. 281 average. No, I mean, okay. So it is very impressive for Eugenio Suarez to do that, right? But the most impressive thing over the last calendar year is 52 home runs.
What's his Z contact rate? I can't wait to see his zone contact rate.
And my point is, he's doing great. I don't care. He has 52 home runs.
Just let me nerd out on some other stuff too. Like, all right, we move on to Toronto outfielder George Springer. Springer had a massive game against the Yankees on Canada Day. He's up to tier 10, 26 spots up in the rankings this week to number 73 overall. The season kind of looks like a renaissance for Springer, who's kind of bust out of his shell and is leading the Toronto Blue Jays, the AL East leading Toronto Blue Jays. And he's kind of anchoring that offense.
Yeah. So it's funny because he was not a guy that was like we say he's having a renaissance season, but like, let's be clear. Like at the end of May, his season was fine, right? He had 54 games. He had 8 home runs. He was hitting 257. He had 23 RBI. He was like, okay, he'll have a fine season. Then he went nuts in June, right? Especially the last 2 weeks, really, is when he's really gone overboard. So, you know, he had that massive game against the Yankees. Really, if you just look at his coming into today, so coming into Sunday, just through the month of July, he had 5 home runs in 5 games, right? He has multiple hits in all 5 of those games. Obviously, this is not the kind of thing that he's going to do long term. But George Springer, here's the thing. These hot streaks from Springer are so good that when the cold streaks come back, that's what you have to remember. It's like, look, when this guy's good, he can still be among the best hitters in baseball. That's the takeaway here. It's that, look, yeah, he's probably going to run cold again, but when he heats back up, he's a game changer. It's not just some like regular streamer who's pretty good when he's hot. This isn't Willier Abreu we're talking about, who can get kind of hot for short times and, you know, might be something good. George Springer's not only super hot right now, he's done this before. This is not super outside his skill set. So that's what makes him very interesting. He's a guy that you just, it's easy to say now because he's hitting a ton of home runs, but just hold him all the way through. I know the past seasons have not been super special in terms of overall stats, but for fantasy purposes, other than that sort of random 220 last season, which largely comes from a depressed BABIP, he's good all the time. And it's just sometimes hard to remember it because he's been hurt a lot and he's old.
Oh, we move on to from a veteran to a rookie. We talked about this guy a lot in the early season just because there was a lot to talk about with his game. It's Houston third baseman / corner outfielder Cam Smith. He's up 25 spots this week. He's creeping towards that top 100, Scott. He's in tier 14, 117 overall. Talk to me about what Cam Smith is doing that has him climbing your rankings.
Yeah, so it's hits in bunches, but here's the thing. So the way he's doing it right now is not necessarily the way I envisioned Cam Smith being good. And when I say that, I mean, when you see these young guys come up, you think, okay, what does it look like when this player is good? What does it look like when this player is going to be a game changer in Major League Baseball? What profile is that going to be, right? So if Nick Kurtz is an easy example because he's been up and down, but you're like, oh, Nick Kurtz, oh, look at all the contact he's making. Yeah, the power is not there, but he's just slapping the ball everywhere. He looks pretty good. I would say, I don't know what that is because that's not Nick Kurtz, right? He's supposed to be a power guy. So with Cam Smith, that's kind of what we're seeing is we're seeing this poor decision-making. We're seeing okay power and we're seeing a bunch of contact ability. And I just don't trust that as the way that Cam Smith becomes the guy that we were hoping for him to be in the offseason, the guy we're hoping for him to be long-term. It just don't make much sense, man. Like the process plus numbers all overall are going up, but they've gone up as the decision-making has gone down. He's just making better contact. I don't buy it, right? The power's up. That's good. I buy the power part. I expect him to be more like a guy who has like average contact ability, but plus decision-making plus power. That's the way that Cam Smith is good. this isn't, that's not how he's doing it right now. That doesn't mean you can't be in on what he is right now. Just expect him to change, right? This exact model that he's finding success with is likely not the way that he sustains success long-term. And so we may see some rough seas until he finds that more, what I think is a reliable path, which is plus power, plus decision-making, and then average to below average contact.
So you want to see him swing and miss more at better pitches?
I'm really glad you did that. So contact ability, the way we have it on Pitcher List, which is available to our PL pros, and one good reason you should be a PL pro is that we have Process Plus and the stats that go into it that Kyle Blaine's put together. These are major league research, like these are club research level statistics that we offer you, right? It's that level of model. So contact ability is how much better were you than average or than expected against the pitches that you got. So generally with Cam Smith having bad decision-making and plus contact, what that's telling me is that he's expanding the zone and making contact on pitches that we wouldn't necessarily see him make contact with. That's a problem because those are not the pitches he's going to do all that damage with, right? And you sort of see that in the game logs, right? Like he's been better of late, but you're not necessarily seeing all the home runs I want to see, right? He had a pair of home runs a little while ago, but like it's a lot of like doubles and just, I mean, even it's like a lot of doubles and singles. And he's getting counting stats to go with it because, you know, they were just in Colorado. Like, let's be clear. Part of this hot streak is the fact they spent three games in Colorado and he got eight hits. He got eight hits in Colorado, right? Like, that's a big part of what's happening here. But yeah, so he's expanding the zone. He's making contact. So plus contact, bad decision-making. That's like the classic example would be like Luis Arraez, who expands the zone a ton. Our decision-making model thinks he's terrible at making decisions. That's because he doesn't have to make good decisions. He's Luis Arraez. He can hit whatever he wants because he's not trying to hit it that hard. Cam Smith is, which means we need Cam Smith making good decisions, right? Because we want him to attack the pitches that can actually be sent out of the ballpark. That'll give him more consistency there. If the contact's a little lagging, that's fine because he should only be swinging at the stuff that we expected him to hit anyway. When you're only swinging at the stuff we expect you to hit anyway, our contact ability plus is going to be like, yeah, you're pretty average because you were swinging at meatballs and we expected you to hit those, right? Him having a plus contact is telling me that he's expanding the zone in ways he doesn't need to. He's attacking pitches he doesn't need to attack. Let those go. Focus on the decision-making because the power is always going to be there, bud. You got big power. So use it on the pitches that can actually be sent out of the yard. That's what we're looking for with Cam Smith. He's not doing it at this moment. I think he will. He's done it earlier this season in some stretches, but the contact ability was so bad that it kind of didn't work out. If he's like average at making contact, but making good decisions and hitting with that plus power, that's when we see the Cam Smith breakout, which isn't right now. Like results wise, it looks like that's what it is. But like what's going on behind the scenes is not how he's going to do that long term.
Yeah. Thanks for breaking that down. I didn't mean to like dumb down your argument or anything. I just wanted to kind of hone in on what you were actually saying. And I think that clarified it perfectly. So thank you. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk about the guys who are falling down Scott's ranks in the top 150 hitters list after this. Welcome back to Hacks and Jacks. I'm Brett Ford here with Scott Chu. We're going through Scott's top 150 hitters list. We're looking at the guys who are falling down the ranks this week. We start in Houston. It's second baseman Jose Altuve, tier 10, number 72 overall, down 24 spots this week. We've talked about Altuve a little bit in previous weeks. He kind of had a couple weeks where he stagnated in the list, and now he's falling again. Scott, what's going on with Jose Altuve?
Well, the problem is that I needed to look like an idiot because really since I've done that, he's just gone around and hit like a million home runs and hit a bunch of doubles. I mean, I should never drop a guy in the list when they're about to play in Colorado. It's dumb. It's dumb because they're going to look good. You know, he's had some big games. He had another pretty good game today. He's still good. He drops a bit because again, it hasn't been as consistent as we'd like, but he's still a top 75 hitter. You can't really do anything about it because there's not a better second baseman for you on the wire, nowhere near it. So it's funny. He falls 24 spots. And all I can really tell you is it's not really actionable, right? Not really in any format, because second base just doesn't have the top end talent. And the guy you'd be chasing is a guy like Jose Altuve. So you know, he falls, but not in a way that really matters to you at all. That's one way that guys like me can cop out of like dropping a guy and having them be good and sort of looking like an idiot, is just be like, yeah, but you shouldn't do anything anyway. But that's what I'm doing right now. And I hope that you appreciate that, but also it's true, right? Like it absolves me sort of, but also it's true. Like there's nothing you really would have done with this, even if he sucked all week. Like there was just nothing to do, just to hope that good things happen.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is in 2029, when Jose Altuve's contract expires with the Astros, he should sign in Colorado.
I mean, everyone should like just be like, oh, I just need a couple more hits to break a record or whatever. Yeah, go to Colorado.
And
go
ahead. To be fair, that sounds like a completely Rockies thing to do. Sign a 39-year-old second baseman and block whatever prospects coming up.
Yeah. Charlie Blackmon was there for an extra decade. And like, you know, it's no big deal. Charlie Blackmon, I'm still waiting for them to be like, look, we thought about it. We thought Charlie could really help our team. Like, help you do what? But like, that was true 5 years ago. Help you do what? And they were like, oh, we still think you help. And so they did it.
Hey, butts and seats count for something.
But nobody was like, man, I'm so glad that I was able to make it today. They got Charlie Blackmon in the lineup. It's good. Like, there was a time, right? There was a time.
Look, but, there were like, still...
But like Altuve can do that because they did it with Tyro Estrada, who got just cut. You're just cut. They didn't want him anymore in San Francisco. Like a team that was competing, we're like, nah, we don't think so. And they were like, yeah, we got a young guy who could play second base, but what if he didn't? Like, what if we got this injured second baseman to do it instead?
Hear me out.
Hear me out. What if we just don't do that? What if we just don't develop our young players?
Oh, that's Rocky's gonna Rocky. We move on to Atlanta, tier 11, 80th overall. It's designated hitter Marcell Ozuna. He's fallen 23 spots this week. Ozuna, a power guy, the big bear, just not doing what we need to from a fantasy perspective, Scott.
I'm really worried. Like, I'm legitimately worried. He's been bad for questions, but he's batter number 179 on the season now. This was the first drop. He's on pace to hit like less than 25 home runs. The walk rate is great. Taking tons of walks, but he's not doing any damage. They still let him hit in the middle lineup. Like this was the first time they sat him against a lefty, which makes me think it's just like old man whose knees are creaky and just needed like some time on the bench. But I'm really concerned about this. I think some of you in the very shadow leagues may have already cut him, but like Marcell Ozuna has two home runs since the start of June, right? Like he had this one stretch where he hit four home runs over the course of like nine games. And then since then, all the power's gone. He's not hitting doubles. He's not doing anything. So it's a huge concern. And even the walk rate has really fallen off a bit since late June. So it's a concern. It's a real concern. I expect him to fall before he rises.
Yeah, and we've seen this kind of floor out of him before. You know, 2023 and 2024 were awesome seasons for Ozuna, but back in 2022, he hit .226 over 500 plate appearances. Now, granted, he reached 23 home runs, but that was kind of it. He slugged, you know, .413, which is a previous career low. He's slugging .380 right now. There's reason to believe that you're right. This could get worse before it gets better.
Yeah. And I wish I could say I had some stat that said things were turning around. I'll tell you, I don't. Like none of my stats suggest that this is getting better anytime soon. I mean, that was true of Marcus Semien, right? Every stat I had said that this is all bad and there's nothing really going up. And then out of nowhere, he just shot up. That's what you're praying for with Ozuna, that out of nowhere, this all comes back at age 34, which again, Semien is the example. It has happened. It's happened recently. Is it a great thing to bet on? I don't think so.
You have to wonder if motivation is part of it too. The Braves are struggling and I don't know, maybe it's hard to get out of bed and go to work in the morning. Who knows?
And like, it is worth noting that Atlanta has been surprisingly bad. I really thought this offense would get a lot better with the return of Ronald Acuna, and he's been great, and they haven't. So there could be something to that, but ultimately it's just been, it's been a long, this is the worst slump we've seen out of Ozuna in several years. So it's very concerning to me. And I think if you're in a 10 team league, there might be a player out there that, you know, again, I dropped Ozuna down in my ranks into the 80s, and there might be a player in a league that, that you can go and make a move for and acquire instead of Ozuna. I don't, most of you probably can't, but I think in the shallow leagues, that's starting to look like a possibility.
Especially when he's UT only, right? Like, as a utility only player, it's, there's not a lot of flexibility there either.
No, there is in fact none. You would define that as none. There is none.
We move on to Sal Perez, another veteran dropping in the ranks, tier 11, 82nd overall this week, down 36 spots. One of my favorite fantasy baseball guys over the past, I don't know, 5 years. I love Sal Perez, but he is not getting it done this season.
He had a home run today. That helps. That's his 10th home run on the season through 85 games. So he still plays a lot, right? 85 games. That means he's playing just about every day. He's just good enough to be a back end catcher and just kind of hold on and see what happens. He's been a little better since the start of June than he had been in months past, but it's still like the consistency's not there. The Royals offense has just not been where I think they expected it to be, as they now sit at 43 and 48. I think they expected to be better. We all expected them to be better. So, you know, his, on one hand, his skill set always said like, hey, there's not a ton of shelf life to this. He swings at everything. He's still hitting the ball fairly hard though. So that's not really the problem. I think part of it is, you know, a little bit of bad luck, not much of it though. But there's a little bit of bad luck there, at least on the batting average side. I don't think he's, obviously he's going to repeat last year, but he should get enough RBI, enough playing time that he's a valuable catcher, but not a game changer like he has been in years past. Now the expected stats say he's almost as good as he was last season, but it's just, it's not quite there at the moment.
We'll head over to New York, where a couple of Yankees have free-falled on your list this week. Anthony Volpe in tier 14, down 59 spots to number 123. And then Paul Goldschmidt, tier 15, down 66 spots to 132. What's going on in New York?
If I still had comments on the article, which wasn't my choice, but we don't have them, and I think that was probably a good decision based on how they went across the site, even though my readers, I thought, were pretty good about it, they would tell me that Anthony Volpe shouldn't be ranked at all because he looks like a terrible baseball player right now, right? He hit Aaron Judge in the head just throwing a ball around, like just some bonehead stuff. But Anthony Volpe plays every day. He's got power. He's got speed. There's still a chance there for him to be something. Right. I think he still could get to 20 home runs, 20 stolen bases, although in many leagues, if you've cut him, I get it. My problem with Paul Goldschmidt is that he doesn't play every day and he's got constant competition for his spots. Right. If Ben Rice gets hot again, Paul Goldschmidt's going to have a hard time getting in that order. Right. Because they're not going to have Ben Rice behind the dish every day, because I think they still like Austin Wells as an actual catcher. Right. Ben Rice is a guy who can catch. Austin Wells is a catcher. Right? Like there's a difference, especially defensively in handling pitching staffs. So Goldschmidt really, really concerns me. I think he's a fine streamer in the right sets of matchups, but at some point I think you have to accept that he's not a full-time player, and I'm not sure what it looks like for him to get back there without injury, right? Giancarlo Stanton messed this up as much as we thought he would. And so it's a very, very crowded, very, very crowded roster. And I think they'd much rather see what they can get out of guys like Jason Dominguez, you know, Ben Rice, if he can take off. You know, this team is obviously built for the playoffs. Paul Goldschmidt's going to play a role in that, but it doesn't have to be an everyday role. And I think that's what they've noticed.
Well, that does it for risers and fallers this week. Let's move to, I guess, the taxi squad or anybody that we didn't mention that you want to touch on in this week's pod.
So glad you asked, Brett. There is a guy we didn't talk about. That I do want to, there's two of them I want to talk about. Actually, number one, hitting a home run today, guy who can't stop hitting home runs, a guy who can't stop doing anything good. That's Riley Green. Riley Green, I still take it personally that there was somebody out there in Reddit land who didn't think Riley Green was good. And I took it very personally. Riley Green hasn't had a negative fantasy week since week four. That was April 14th through the 20th. He's currently batter number 13. He's got a big sweet uppercut swing, and he just hit his 22nd home run of the year. Yes, the strikeouts can be ugly, right? Over his last 15 games, he's striking out about a little over 30% of the time. He spent quite a bit of the season striking out over 30% of the time over 15 game spans. I don't care, because that sweet uppercut swing gets the ball out of the yard in a hurry. He's a monster. He's going to keep hitting in the middle of this order. He's got 69 RBI, very nice number to have through 88 games. And he's hitting 287. Riley Green is, you know, he's continued to move up my rankings. I probably rank him more aggressively than anybody, save maybe Trevor Huth, who's been on the show before. I rank Riley Green 16th. That's ahead of Rafael Devers. That's ahead of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That's ahead of Ketel Marte. That's ahead of Bryce Harper. That's ahead of Manny Machado. And I believe it. This is not like, I think he could very soon also take, he could overtake Pete Crow Armstrong and be at the top of this tier 14. That's hitter number 15. Riley Green's for real, folks, and you need to be in on it. And while we're talking about Tigers because it's my show. I can talk about whatever I want as long as Brett doesn't stop rolling, which he hasn't yet. So we're going to talk about Spencer Torkelson, because you got to get torqued, you nerds. All right. So there was a reason that we kept holding on to torque. So we gave up on Tyler Soderstrom. His power just completely fell off. He's had like one extra base hit in the last month and a half. It's not good. We gave up on Kyle Manzardo. They just stopped playing him, right? A lot of these other early first base breakouts have fallen apart, but not Spencer Torkelson. Spencer Torkelson now has 20 home runs on the season. He hit a couple more this week. He has three in his last six games, if you include today. He also hit one a little while before that. And the reason we believed is because the decision-making for Spencer Torkelson has stayed strong all season. Like, just elite decision-making all season long. He continues to do it. That was a big key. So remember how I talked about before with Cam Smith, where I was like, it's not about, I can't see him being a below average decision maker with good contact and then power. That wasn't going to work. What Cam Smith needs to be doing what Spencer Torkelson is doing, which is the contact is meh, right? But the decision-making is fantastic and the power is plus plus. That's what gets you to 40, you know, 35, 40 home runs. That's how you get there. Spencer Torkelson is showing them how you do that. He's got an over 10% walk rate, an under 25% strikeout rate, plenty of hard hit balls, plenty of fly balls. He hits the ball in the air all the time. Spencer Torkelson is a guy you need to keep rostering. He's going to hit, you know, at first I was like, well, I hope he can get to 30. Now I'm like, can't, you know, why not 35? Right? I think projections are going to tell you he's going to hit about 10 or 11 more, which doesn't sound like much because they're like, oh, that's only like two or three a month for, you know, here on out. Not that many players get projected over 30 home runs, right? Fewer than 50 players in all of baseball get projected for, I think, 28 home runs or more. That's a lot of home runs, folks, right? So you say, oh, there's 50 players. Yeah, and there's 12 teams in your fantasy league. That means you each get three or four of them tops, right? Top Spencer Torkelson was not one that was on that list. Every guy that wasn't on that list, all the guys that we thought would hit 30 home runs were drafted. They were drafted early, and very few of them have been cut. So whenever you get your hands on a guy who could be one of those 30 home run guys, you hold on to them for dear life until you become certain that they cannot do that, or they will only do so in a way that hurts your team overall. Spencer Torkelson is not going to do that. Yes, his batting average isn't great. It's 238. It could be anywhere from 230 to 250 by the time we're done. But that's one category, right? He's going to help you in three others, right? He won't steal bases, but who cares? Spencer Torkelson, he's a guy we're going to keep believing in as long as the decision-making is good. Now, when the decision-making falls off, I will be here to tell you this is bad news. This is bad. This is something that's going to be unsustainable. But he hasn't done that, right? He hasn't broken my heart that way yet. He's currently a top 50 hitter. I don't rank him quite that high. I rank him number 81 behind Marcelo Ozuna, which now feels stupid. He should be ahead of that. But Spencer Torkelson, he's going to be back in the top 75. I expect him to move even back closer to the top 50. He's going to be a top 75 to 50 player all season long. And in every format I'm aware of, that is a guy you keep locked into your roster. So Spencer Torkelson, Riley Green, absolute dogs, absolutely exciting guys on baseball's best team, the Detroit Tigers. If you're not excited, like if you're not having fun rooting for the Tigers, what are you doing? Like, this isn't the Yankees. This isn't the Dodgers. This is the gritty Tigers coming out, scoring a bunch of runs in the 10th inning with with Tarek Skubal, who just had a really fun bit, like commentating about, he was like in game, like sort of broadcasting, and he got to see a home run. You see him like dodge a foul ball. It's a lot of fun. Go to MLB.com. You can see some of the highlights of that, but the Gritty Tigers are a fun team. You should be enjoying them just like I am. And even if you're not going to enjoy it as much as me, try, right? I think your life will be better for it.
All right. Well, now that we've had Tigers Hour on Hacks and Jacks, is there anybody from the taxi squad you want to touch on real quick before we sign off?
Oh, he's actually ranked, but I told the chat, the one guy in our chat, we're so glad you're here, Angelo. The one guy in the chat, I said I'd touch on Tyler Freeman. So Tyler Freeman is a contact speed guy. He's really found his roots again doing that. I do think he's a guy that can stay ranked. Did I rank Freeman? I hope I did. No, I didn't. Whoopsie. I didn't even put him in the article. That was stupid. So Tyler Freeman's going to be ranked. So here's the thing. Tyler Freeman, his numbers are a little bit inflated right now because he's played like the better part of the last 2 weeks in Coors Field. And when you're a contact guy with speed and you get to hit the ball in the biggest outfield in baseball, you're going to get good numbers. That's going to happen. But he leads off for the Rockies. He's got a good hit tool. He's a guy that can probably hit like 280 or so. Look, the home run numbers are going to be low. He only has one home run and he didn't even hit it in Coors because Coors is too big. Right? Tyler Freeman doesn't have that. He's got warning track power, and that warning track up in Coors is a long, long way away. So Freeman is a guy who can hit for average, hit for contact. He can score some runs, not a bunch of them because the Rockies are terrible, but he is a player, especially because of that second base eligibility, third base eligibility. He's eligible just about everywhere. He's a guy who should really be, you know, he's probably been scooped up. If he hasn't, you should scoop him. If you have scooped him, you can probably hold him on your roster for quite a while. He's going to help you in those ratios. He can help you with that speed. Now, if you get to a point where you don't care about the ratios, you need the power, Tyler Freeman is of no use to you. Or the power is never coming. But points leagues, leagues where you need ratios and speed, Tyler Freeman, very valuable player, a guy that you can probably keep holding if you've already scooped him. If he's out there, go ahead and grab him if you need those things.
Beautiful. Thanks for a great podcast, Scott. Tell the folks where they can find you and your work.
Yes, you can find me on blueskyscottchu.pitcherlist.com. You can find me on Reddit at Chusef, C-H-U-S-E-P-H, Esquire. We've got the Reddit AMA every day on the weekend. I've got the great Nate Schwartz helping me throughout the weekend to keep up with all these questions. We had so many questions. I just could not do it myself anymore. I love it. Love all of you that are on there and asking these questions. We get, you know, well over 100 questions every week. So a lot of fun just talking baseball there. You can also find me on Twitter at If The Chew Fits. And then of course the hitter, well, the article formerly known as Hitter List, which is now the top 150 hitters for fantasy baseball in 2025. You can find that on Wednesday nights or Thursday mornings, whenever I'm actually able to put it all together. I really want to get back to Wednesdays, but real life gets in the way, but that's where we're at. So you can find me in all those places. Hope you check them out and hope you, you know, give some feedback, right? I know you can't leave comments on the articles or anymore, but hit me up on social media. I'm trying to be more active when I can. Hit me up on Reddit, hit me up wherever. I'll talk to your, answer your questions, or hey, better yet, join the Discord or become a PL pro. Then you get me way more often. You know, I'm basically on speed dial at that point. I'm answering those questions all day, every day, any hour that I can. So another reason to do that, although the real reason is to get Kyle Bland's amazing stats that he gives us, like process plus contact ability and power.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Scott. I'm Brett Ford. You can find me at Fade That Man on social media. Make sure you check out my Fab Insights columns on Sunday mornings, talking about Fab bids and all the good things. And then hit me up in the Discord. I'm in the Pitcher List Discord at Fade That Man under Brett Ford, whatever display name it is. And then, of course, in playback, if, you know, usually try to jump in at least once a week, whether it's, you know, in the mornings with Nick or during one of our awesome game streams, watch parties, things like that. So make sure you hit up playback as well. Thanks for tuning in to Hacks and Jacks. For Scott, I'm Brett. We'll see y'all next week. Later.